Physical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it's Monday, December 4th, 2023, and you are listening to 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you listen to the world. Jay, are you around yet?
Yes, I'm here and wishing you a great morning and wishing everyone a great morning.
Yeah. So I guess today, we're going to be taking questions in the room by phone from 7:15 to 7:35. So if you have a whopper of a question, call in, and we'll be taking you on the phone number 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. The number again is 857-232-0155, extension 870-303. And Jay, another way they can get us?
They can go to 12radio.com and click on the chat button. That takes them to a brand new window. It's a private Facebook group. Send over an invitation. We'll do what we can to get you approved while we're live on the air. Once we do that, you can see the banner there at the top of the page called Metaphysical Conversations. In the chat section is where the conversation is happening. And you can place your comments there.
Great. Yeah. And we look forward to talking to you guys. It's been fun to hear what's going on with you guys and to hear from you. So we look forward to hearing from you from 7:15 to 7:35 today. So Jane, I thought today we could maybe talk a little bit about analyzing the concept of karma. And one of the things I was thinking is it's karma to me kind of suggests that our actions, thoughts, and intentions create energy, right? And that it'll return to us in some form. So I guess it's the law of cause and effect. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about about karma, but do our actions and thoughts and intentions create energy? I think it might. What do you think, Jay?
Well, I think it has a lot of factors. I think we can oversimplify that whole idea. And I'm glad we're going to talk about it because I think we can oversimplify it, undersimplify it, and then also use it to kind of make ourselves feel better. But I don't know that it's actually true and real in the sense of what we might be telling ourselves. Does that make sense?
So we have you're saying that you're not sure that it's real, then we look at it?
Well, it's the kind of thing that I do feel like there's some truth to it because it's still like something that we use to talk about life experience, and it feels true on a certain level. But I also just know that all those kind of mechanisms of life that we try to figure out from our human perspective, I feel like we can, I don't know how I want to say this. It's like we can think that we know and put a lot of faith and trust in that, but how do we really know? This is just something that we're sharing. Yes, there's some tradition to it, and yes, there's some history to it as far as how it's been passed on. So in that way, there is legitimacy. I don't want to take that away, but at the same time, I think that it isn't so simple.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's a,
If you think about it, if you take a hardcore sampler, like for instance, if somebody is like in a really steamy mood and just really is hell bent on bumming somebody else out, right? With going through the day like a dark cloud, you're going to see that effect on somebody, and you're going to get back probably somebody who doesn't really want to talk to you, and you're going to it's gonna, so that's an effect,
Totally,
right?
totally.
And so, but we so if we look at it like it not only affects us, the interconnection with others, but it contributes to the collective energy of the universe. So if you go around with a dark cloud, you're going to create that little scene around you, I feel like, because it's not, it's just like it just as if you on the other hand that you would go in like a little happy camper with a little smiley face and really wanting to, perk up the world. You do and often do create, an upbeat mood in somebody else when you bring that energy to them.
So you're talking more cause and effect, not karma.
Well, it is the law of cause and effect.
Okay.
Karma, law of cause and effect,
So
right?
okay. But you tie those together. I guess I never tied those together like that.
Well, it's like if I go in with a crappy mood into somebody, that is karma. What do you expect back, right? You're going to get back kind of an annoying, a smile turned upside down because you're bringing in a lot of dark energy, or you're bringing in a steamy, like low energy. But if you, on the other hand, bring in, I mean, this is when you take it down to the level of, very shallow level of just trying to view what the karma is. If you go in and you decide that you're gonna lay down in front of somebody that upper mood, and you say, how are you today? And really care, you're gonna get a different mode from somebody, most likely. So you're introducing the idea, I feel like, of karma coming back to you in a more upbeat way.
I can see what you mean. No, I can see the connection now that you explain it that way. Because karma, yes, it is what you bring or what you put in, you're going to get back, or it's going to come back to you somehow, plus more. And so I can see where that energetic law is at work in that way to create that sort of effect.
So it is an interconnectedness. It's like you're affecting the world by how your being is. And but you're also taking on the energy of, others around you often, Sometimes how do I guess we can kind of turn that off sometimes a little bit too by just really staying to a hardcore on a hardcore level to ourselves to feel like so we don't take on the energy. But it's really difficult sometimes, to not take on the energy of what's going on in the world anyway.
I mean, that especially for those of us that would consider ourselves more empathic, that can be something that we have to practice our whole life to learn how to do. Like, not take on the energy of the space and come in with our own energy.
It's tough, especially like when there's wars going on too. We can all kind of, and I'm sure that it took us probably. I know it took me a while to like really try and come back to really creating a world around me that's more upbeat, because I was really taken down when both wars, of those major wars came in, and I was really. But you have to remember with that you're bound to the law of trying to make the world a better place as you are, So I'm not in the war itself, but I am. My responsibility, I feel like, is to be the best that I can be in my space that I'm in. And when you come back to that rule, you're creating a better world for the collective by being the best that you can be.
I really like that too, because that actually gives us a chance to influence and affect what we actually can in our own sphere of influence, versus thinking that it's up to us to like stop the war or
That's
stop
right. Yeah, you
But
can't do that. You can't be the best person you can be. And you do that through, looking at what you're, for instance, if you're thinking about, well, I think I'm gonna really take that person down for what they said. You have to really consider what the moral consequences are in the karma associated with whatever your action is going to be, or you have to look at the idea of the moral consequences as you place your steps ahead of you for moving through the world. So you want to really look more towards the positive outcomes, and you have to realize that if you do something really nasty, it could result in some negative consequences, bad karma coming back at you because you're energizing, you're putting that energy out there.
totally. I mean, and we have to realize, or maybe we don't have to, but it's important, especially for those of us that are wanting to be consciously aware of what's happening, to be aware of how our energy affects the space, as well as how we can be affected by an energetic space, and then how we can normalize or equalize or harmonize. Those are all practices that we have to be able to learn, like how our own system works and how to operate our own circuitry in a certain kind of way. So I love that we have this radio station and the whole 1-2 world in order to kind of drill down and look at this topic and the topics surrounding it from a much more grounded as well as just detailed kind of way. And I want to remind everybody, because we're getting close to 7:15, that you can call in for readings. And that number is 857-232-0155. Don't forget the extension 870-303. And we have a couple people joining us in the chat. Quelly is joining us. She says, Grand Rising Jane, Carolyn, and 1-2 family. And Lori Light, 1-2
Oh.
advisor, is joining us as well. And she says, good morning, peeps.
Good morning, you guys. Thanks for coming. I appreciate you guys being here.
We too. And I can't
Yeah.
believe it's December 3rd and we're,
Oh.
or 4th. Oh my God, it's December 4th
Yeah.
and we're just.
It just keeps on coming, doesn't it? Is it something we've done? Well, the other way of looking at reincarnation too is or I mean at looking at karma is reincarnation. And I mean some people look at it that maybe when you're reincarnated that you're going to have to go through some karma from the past. I'm not sure about that. I mean, how do you feel about that? Are we carrying karmic imprints from past actions or into our lives now? You think that might be happening?
See, that's where I feel like it gets tricky to me. Like, we can explain things in a way that would make you feel like that's what's happening or could be going on. But I'm not 100% sure. I mean, this is where we're so aware of this life. And I do feel like there are other realities, other dimensions, other lives we could even be living while we're simultaneously living this life. But
Kind of,
it's
that's
true.
kind of an idea, isn't it? I like that idea because it's so sometimes, for instance, our dreams are so real, that do we just like take off and really go for that flight in the middle of the night, and where we could fly without an aeroplane? You have to wonder whether maybe somehow we are. I mean, I always went up right before I start to take off into sleep, I always kind of like have this feeling like I'm leaving, like a jumping feel. It's very bizarre, but it's like your energy is getting ready to take off into a dreamland, really. It's into a place of dreams or into a place of sleep, and it's just, where do we go? Where does our mind go? But I guess we digress, don't we, away from the idea of karma. But I
It's kind
guess I,
of it's wild just to think about it. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, and it does like explain some of these energetic ties that we have and some of the things that are unexplainable that seem beyond this current reality, but still somehow tying us together.
Well, I think I frankly hope it's not reincarnation, that it really makes us, makes our karma a drag or better. I hope it, because it takes away the idea of really, tying your shoelaces correctly. And, if I was like, if I used to like, scalp people in a past life, does that mean if I've tied my shoelaces correctly on in this life that I'm gonna have, no hair? I mean, what does that exactly mean? I feel like, I feel like it depends upon how we really do our life. And so it bothers me in a way, the idea of reincarnation, creating karma, a bad or good. I just feel like we need to really take on where we are now and make our lives the very best.
Honest,
Always.
totally. Well, I couldn't agree more. And I feel like we have the most power in this current life that we're in to create change and influence this particular life. And I like to kind of see the stuff that comes up around past lives or what I would put in that category as like helpful information and almost like how I would look at my own history of this life that happened a long time ago. Like, it's great to be aware of it and understand it. But, like, what happened to me when I was five, that was 40 years ago. And so, not that it didn't affect me when it happened five, when I was five, all those things that happened, but, and not that they couldn't even still have ramifications in my life now because that can happen with trauma and stuff. But at the same time, I'm now 45 and my life is just in a whole different place. And so I feel
So
like we have to like,
you're thinking that at five, when you did some stuff, that it shouldn't, that it should not affect you now.
well, and not that it shouldn't and not that it doesn't, but it's like the effect that it has like a diminishing, the word that comes to mind is like diminishing return. I don't know if that's the right way to phrase it, but it's like it has less and less of effect the further away I get from it. But maybe
Yeah.
not. I guess it, as I say that, it depends on the situation and what it is we actually go through. You know, like if I would have had my arm get cut off, I would still be very affected by that now. And so I guess it really depends on the degree of what actually happens, on what can stick.
Well, it's also like the degree of how you morph with that new world that you're given. If you if now you have to live your life without an arm, how your life to make it even better because of it, maybe. Maybe you're helping people with handicap now that uplifts other people in the world, right? I don't know. I just feel like I just feel like it's again, it comes back to me. It might come back to just mindset. Where are you right now that's going to make the world a better place because you're in it? I don't know.
Like what, well, and what I hear and what you're saying too, like what frame of mind is going to be best for me to be in to fully
Yeah.
show up and be present in my life now? Like what do I need to work that out? And if it is healing back whatever happened at five or seven or going back to my 20s, then you handle that. Like in that way, I feel like if we can look at it from a standpoint of the bigger picture view, and we don't get so into the mire details, I think that's where it can be helpful, like how we can bring kind of context and maybe some understanding to our life experience to gain wisdom.
Right. So
But
learn to grow.
yeah.
And you can, provide it, but how does it provide opportunities for our personal growth, our learning, and our spiritual development? So you can look at it like that, Jay.
I think that's where it's, at least for me, that's where it feels like the most effective. I mean,
Yeah.
and I guess that's a personal choice how I look at it.
Yeah. So you look at you, and then you change, you dial in. as to have what you're now looking at. You know, how can I work with this? How can I change this? How can I morph it? Right. So yeah. So if it's best to look at the concept of karma really as, you know, it could be if it is challenges and setbacks, that how can I fine tune to move forward in a more positive way.
Totally. So we have some more comments here. We have Lori Light saying, interesting topic, karma versus karma. Oh my gosh. Karma versus cause and effect. Love you guys. And then Terry Campbell is joining us. Hi, Terry. She says, hi, Carolyn and Jay. And she also says, interesting, Jay. I suspect it is influenced by what we are conscious of, right? And then Tara says, good morning. Hi, Tara.
You guys.
So Terry says, I suspect it's influenced by what we are conscious of. Definitely. That definitely goes towards what I was referring to is like how we can derive wisdom. It's
from
our
it.
Consciousness. It's our ability to see it from that place that we can look not just at our own actions or our own part of it, but actually look at some of the energetic flows and mechanisms at work that are affecting us, as well as whoever we're engaging with.
Yeah. So, but one of the things that she said was too, is what you're aware of. Yeah. And that's where that's what really makes you want to stay aware, you know, mm-hmm. and not out, because you really have to analyze, you know, the consciousness that you're working with, and you know, and look at the karmic outcome that's taken place, so you can fine tune it. I don't know.
It's definitely this is what I mean by, when we look at things from this metaphysical place, it can definitely bring a huge piece of understanding to what is going on. But I also feel like it doesn't always necessarily explain everything that's happening to us, but we can try to have it explain everything that's happening to us. And that's where I feel this is a dualistic reality that we're in, the physical world.
Right.
And depending upon how unified we are with our own consciousness will also depend on how we view the world and can engage with that, either from a more unified place or more like kind of from that stuck in the duality of it all. And
well,
go ahead.
It reminds me too, it reminds me too of like being stuck in a crappy situation, you know, where you feel like you just can't kind of kick out of this, you know, this place. So it comes back to, you know, forgiveness and release of the idea of and understand, you know, the idea of forgiveness and letting go, so that you can transform and, you know, and release the negative attachments and resentments that you have towards that situation that you need to transform. Again, but that's just like a piece of that, you know. So say you, I don't know, I'm thinking of maybe you're in a, I don't know, some sort of relationship that's caused some bad karma with, you know, a couple of other people, you know, you look at and you forgive perhaps what's happened, but you release and you try and morph out of that situation so that you can change it. Right. So I think a lot of karma really does stand. You really do have to work with forgiveness and letting go be thankful, you know, because maybe it's been good karma, but for the parts that we don't really like, the parts that we really want to change, you really have to recognize the transformative power of releasing negative attachments and resentments before you can really walk forward, I feel like.
It's a huge part of it, because I feel if we have resentments or we're at all playing like a victim into the situation, even if we are a victim in the situation, but like locked into that mentality. That all, I feel like, will have an effect on our either autonomy in a particular situation or our ability to feel free to have our free will choice available to us. Or I feel like what can happen when we're in that state is we can feel pushed into a choice versus like feeling like we have a choice, where it's more of a reaction versus a response.
Right. And which makes you want to go back to, if I do this, what kind of karma is it going to create? If I decide to, then I'm going to retaliate and, you know, take a bat and knock somebody over the head because of it, you know, it's going to cause a cause and effect. I might have to go to jail for that, right? So you have to really look at what your steps forward are to get out, especially the bad situations. How do I transform the bad situation, right? Doing it, forgiveness and release, you know, and recognizing the negative attachments and resentments that you have towards it, and then walking in a different direction, giving yourself steps out of it.
So there's still a few minutes left to call in for reading this morning. That call-in number is 857-232-0155. And the extension to dial is 870-303. And then Terry is saying that we can look at the South Node for karmic influences using astrology. So I think that's a great reminder for those of you that are looking to get real specific at your own karmic issues and what they might be. Taking a look at your South Node in your chart can help.
Okay. That comes back to reincarnation of past life. Yeah. Okay.
So that's a way to tie that reincarnation loop into one of the traditions that we use here. It's a big deal here at 1-2, the astrology. And it really can give us a star map, a road map, a life map based on that snapshot of when we were born. And that doesn't just come out of, it's not a willy-nilly tradition that has gotten us to this place where we can look at where the stars and planets are in the sky and derive so much spot-on information about our life. It is pretty incredible how we have these tools.
So it's kind of, you're saying we have to really look at our duty. What is our duty with our life? And we have to emphasize the importance of acting in alignment with our purpose and our responsibilities. And you can use the chart to kind of look at where you were at the birth, you're saying.
And then also, yes, at birth, and then use that to look at what are the influences, what are our strengths, what are our weaknesses, what are our driving forces about our personality. Are we more introverted? Are we more extroverted? And that's if you want to be conscious about it. Like, that's the thing about this life, is there's no rules saying that you need to be conscious of your life by age 20 or else, or, you know, you need to be that like fully conscious by 30 or else. Like, some people, that's just not their deal. And yeah. I don't want to make it wrong. It's like, I just see our ability to dive in and get more information as a choice. That's a choice.
Do you think who focus on it? Do you think that people who focus on it can be better people than if they don't?
They could be, but I don't know that it necessarily guarantees that they are.
Well, it would come back to really caring to do the right thing. If you're aware of it and you're working on it, as coming from place yourself in a more positive place to align yourself with your purpose and responsibilities, maybe you are doing better than the person who doesn't give a rat's ass, right? I wonder.
Right. I mean, I would agree with you, but I feel like there's groups of people that would argue with us about that, which is fine. I mean, that's what's so cool about this life, is that we do have these different ways we can look at it and frame what's happening and how to make the most of it. But again, I feel it all just depends on how we are personally either invested in, like, in the collective, in healing, in truth, in light, and living those principles out the best we can, versus not wanting to get so philosophical or deep or just look at it from that more bigger picture kind of way. Like, some people I think of just, they want to be more in the physical, not so philosophical. So it's more about the bumps, the bruises, the, like, the more way we tangibly interact with life. But that some people like to stay more in that space, and they don't want to bring in spirituality or religion or talk about the quote unseen parts of life.
Yeah. I guess it's how you're really walking in the world, but, you know, it's really, it really does boil down to personal responsibility to me. It's just like, it's really looking at how you want to shape your role in your destiny and you know, through your conscious choices and actions. I don't know. It can be a concept. The concept of karma can be a really useful tool to really look at. Now, you can use it. If there is no God, you know, I can do anything I want to do. But then you know, like, your inner law or inner rule comes back, and, well, there's, you know, the concept of karma, and maybe it's just it's like a little inner law that maybe helps you to kind of stay in line.
I would have to agree with you in the sense of, we can tune into what's right and true for us, and I don't mean that from a willy-nilly kind of place, like, where I'm just trying to make myself feel better. But when you really dedicate yourself to that mission, that is a different kind of, like, way to live in reality. There's a couple comments.
Yeah.
One, Mark says, 100% Jay, there's no right way. And I think that's what's hard about this, is because we wanna, I think as humans, some of us anyways, want to figure out the right way or the best way, but then realizing that not everybody's on that trajectory, nor do they have that as their intention, and being able to live our life alongside those people too without making it wrong or a problem, which can be tricky. And then Terry says, for me, I think examining the repetition helps to identify the underlying energy that is looking for expression and therefore coming out sideways and in an unhelpful way. And I think that's, again, for those of us that are willing to really look and drill into our life, where that kind of thing matters. Because not everybody wants to look so closely, for better or worse.
Sometimes we might not be looking at the word particularly. But sometimes, you know, we might be doing it in a more generic way. For instance, you know, the way, because sometimes before you do an action, any kind of action, you look at everything that's going to be involved in doing that. And maybe you're not looking at it as the analyzing the concept of karma, but you're looking at it just as, what do I have ahead of me? What are the steps ahead of me? And what is going to, you know, how do I want this outcome to go by doing particular steps? So maybe some of us just do it more generically without knowing that we're really tapping into, you know, the concept of it, of karma. Maybe.
I would agree. I even would feel in what you're saying, like, some religious beliefs are in a sense sort of taking people in that space in a more generic way, in the sense of all the people of that religion ascribing to a particular belief system and structure, but at the same time generic from the standpoint of, it's not personal. A whole group of people are identifying with it and using it to bring some kind of understanding to their life and also some kind of meaning. And what I'm really trying to say in that is I do feel like we can derive that meaning in different ways, and where I might get meaning, you may not, and vice versa. And that's what is, I feel like, a tricky paradox of this life, of what the things that I can care very deeply about, and then I can go to Joe Schmo on the street, and he can give two flying F's about it. And like, how does that work? like, how can I care so much and he doesn't care at all?
Because his maybe because he's really good at putting sculptures together, in a cement foundation location, so he cares about what his cement looks like, so he and everybody that's going to affect. So he's not interested in how you're thinking on your path, right? But he's got his own world on creating beautiful sculptures in this cement foundry, right? So it's not what he's into, and that's what makes us all kind of unique and different, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, that's the part that for me feels like miraculous, like magical, how we can all have our own unique views, our beliefs, our desires, our driving forces, and how they can be so different, and just how this thing called God, if I can say it that way, that we're all having this experience in, how does the mind of God manage 8 billion different kinds of consciousness, or 8 different, oh my God, I can't even say it. It's so mind-boggling to me, but 8 million different, 8 billion different consciousnesses, awarenesses, ways of seeing it, all bumping into each other down here. How we don't self-destruct, and how we are able to create so much. That's the part that's like the mystery to me, like how that all works.
Well, it's almost like if I were to do an illustration of what you just said, it would be like the bulk, the source, the white light is in the center. It's like a in the center, and you got eight. How many people did you say? 8 billion or 8 million or how many people did you say? So you've got little stretches coming out from that white light, and still sources. Their source is that white light, but everyone's going in a different direction and still taking from that white light, the source. So. I feel like because we're all just kind of connected, but we're like little pinpricks from the source, right? We all have our umbilical cord still attached, and so we can use that source how we need to make our lives better. That's what we should be using it for anyway, to work with our what we want to do to contribute to the collective energy of the universe, basically, and to head towards our, purpose.
If we are so willing to be aware of it like that, I mean,
But
that's
again,
really.
don't, but we don't, some, a lot of us don't, how did you put it? Give a
Flying
wild.
F.
So a lot of us, look at it in a more generic way, and don't take the time to go that deep, that deeply into it. But we look at it from, just from minute to minute, how it's going to affect us, or maybe if you're somewhat, with it, I feel like you look at you kind of look at your day, or you look at the situations, and you analyze it a little bit, if you're somewhat with it. But it may not be on a deep level, like what's the karma reaction to why did Betty scream at me, and what did I do to deserve that, and let's go back and analyze that. Maybe people are not doing it like that, but you maybe still are, kind of analyzing how you can maybe go around Betty the next time, or talk to Betty so that you can defuse it, but without thinking a lot about it, without just a generic thought, just a generic thought, but still on the same idea of caring about what, if there were a karma, how are you using it to make yourself better?
Well, and what I just saw and what you said too is like another kind of way to see that field you mentioned with Source and all the pinpricks and our connections, but that in that too, we're not only are we connected to Source, we're interconnected to each other through Source, and it can help us understand our place in that cosmic harmony. Or that cosmic orchestra, I should say, really.
Karma, can you remember?
Or not car. Well, yeah, car. Well, I'm using karmic, but I'm really meaning to say our. How. I don't know why I'm a loss for words all of a sudden, like how to say this, but where we are able to see our possible flow in that cosmic soup. Like are part of the dance, are part of like where we can engage. I feel like that can come forward when we're more consciously aware.
Well,
And
you're again,
when
I think that's looking at your purpose again, right? That's really looking at what is my purpose, and making sure that you're on the track for, for leaving behind your legacy, and being that person that goes into the grocery store and always is upbeat, being that person who people remember as being kind and considerate, it doesn't take much inner thought to be able to put yourself into that space either. It doesn't take a lot of, it's really being truthful with self and really aligning self to want to be the best light you can be. Light, that's the word, because you want to take that umbilical cord that is attached to the source and make it the brightest light you can make it.
I like that image. That's a great image to use for all of us in meditation.
Yeah, and that would really be making it so that, for God's sakes, if we have to come back and do this again with in another life, I mean, that's what, it feels like, we need to pretend for a minute that maybe there's reincarnate karma. What would you do if we knew that to be true? It's like, okay, rule number one, there's going to be karma and you're going to be reincarnated, and unless you do this right, you're going to have to come back here and do it all again. Jeez, that's rule number one. I think I might tend to do things in the best way that I can do it now, so that I'm not having to go through it all again, right? Because I really, when I quit, I want to be able to know that I'm going to be, like a, in a free place of beauty and heavenly, heavenly whatever. Everything's free and everyone's kind.
Well, and I just had an interesting image when you were talking, and it was, what if we do come and we are cast in a certain role when we come, but that role, what if it isn't connected to anything else, any other life, or so interconnected like we would say it is, and it's more we're cast to play the role, and the universe somehow seems a like to have a purpose and a reason for us to play that role, and that we just have to either sign up and come play it or not. And that what if we just come and play these roles and go back and then
And lights
come
out.
play another role again, like where there isn't that idea that they're connected, and that if I don't do great in this life, somehow I'm gonna have to come back and make up for it in the next one. What if we take that part out of it? And I
I
just
think,
feel like there might be something to that.
yeah, I really feel like we ought to scratch this, just tear the page out, rip it out, move it aside. Because it really makes it a lot simpler and a lot more fun, that because again, and that's if you're really intending to make this life the very best that you can make it, right? I don't want to have to deal with things I've done in a past life if I was, a scalper. It's just because I'm not a scalper now, right?
Right. Well, and who's to say the way I sometimes will see fairness isn't like fairness, like if I were to weigh my life out right this moment, it's going to be fair. Not necessarily. But if I weigh, if at the end of my life, you look at the whole, the ups, the downs, the in-betweens, in that way, it's going to be balanced and fair for me and my life and my experience. Like that's how I see how fairness can play out. But that doesn't mean it's not fair in the way of like, I am gonna get mine and you're gonna get yours. Like, I don't know how I can describe this like little nuance I'm seeing. It's just I see fairness as more of something that is we can try to take a snapshot, and if we look a snapshot at our life, we're gonna be disappointed. I feel like if we are able to look at the whole package, like the whole life as a whole piece, that's when I feel like it makes more sense.
Well,
So
as long as you take that snapshot of your entire life, and you can see where you've improved, you can see where you've taken a different approach because you didn't like the outcome, of how something got you into trouble in the previous time of your life. So have I worked my life better? Maybe, so that's what maybe, when you die, so maybe you do look at your entire life and how you were, freaking rude to that person at the grocery store. And then you could see that by the, years later that you started to like care about how you were, with that person and really care about what's going on with their life. Empathetic. Your empathy had improved. You can see that things improved along the way that you became a better person. There's got to be something there where it doesn't take you into the next life, but maybe you have improved yourself because of the idea of it, of karma through your
Well,
life.
and even if like what you said in your last example, where I'm able through the context of my own life and living it, be able to find growth and improvement and expansion. What if that's the whole point anyways? Just like that's the micro what's happening on the micro level personally in my life and your life. And then what happens in the macro when that happens on a collective level? And so we can zero in, look at our lives individually, and then we can also back up and look at things more collectively. And I do feel like those do give us different views, but I think, like you just said, like depending upon where you're at in your life, how conscious you are at wanting to grow, wanting to change, wanting to be better, whatever that might be for you in your world, that is a byproduct of what this life can offer us or where this life can take us. But not everybody necessarily chooses that, but it's available. And I feel like that's what looking at life in this way opens up to us, is it can make it a little bit more multidimensional.
And even if they don't look at it, have a personal connection to it, what you were saying before is, how did I affect others? How did I affect the growth of the world? How do I affect others around me? So that's, it's really important to leave a nice stamp to help, to help to show healthy, to show how can you lead a healthy lifestyle, a healthy world, and help others with their growth too, through the example of how you're doing your own.
Absolutely.
That's leaving
So
a, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and Mark is coming up next, and he has another note for us. He says, "Lovely conversation. Great job, C and J." Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Mark. We appreciate you listening in. We're excited to hear what's going to be going on in the astrology, getting to hear about that
I
in your
know.
show.
Good. Yeah. So, talk with me or Jay for a private reading at One to Listen, and if we aren't on, you can also get ask for, ask us to schedule a call. I'm mostly on daily from 6 until 4, and Jay, you are on when?
I'm on usually in the late afternoons and evenings. And if you don't see Carolyn and I on, please don't hesitate to click on the schedule an appointment button. That automatically has the system reach out to us and let us know that you're looking for us. And we can get that scheduled and get you hooked up.
Okay, cool. So, Mark Cusson is up next, and I guess take it away again, Jay.
I just can't believe that we have another show in the books, and I'm still reeling about December 1st, or I know it's December 4th now, but just this idea that it's December already. I'm like, how did that happen? I don't understand. My mind is spinning.
I know. It's just, it really, I don't know, and it's just I wonder if it's happening on the in the alternate universes that we are experiencing possibly. Or are those even going quicker?
That's a great question, and it reminds me of a show. Did you ever watch that show on Fox called Fringe?
No.
It was back in the like early 2000s. Now I think you can get it on Netflix, and it has quite a few seasons, I think 5 or 6. And it was back when they had the longer seasons, so they really did get into some. It was an in-depth show, cool special effects, kind of talks to corporate and government agencies and relations and kind of some of the clandestine stuff that happens. It's interesting in that way, but it also talks about the different technologies and different factions of people that are doing different things. But it also dives into parallel realities, multiple realities, different like stuff that can go on if the parallel reality that we were in and our reality, we're having trouble with each other. So, time change, time loops, time travel, the Watchers, it gets into all that. And
What's the name of the program again?
it's called Fringe. Fringe,
Okay.
just one
And
word.
what on?
It was on Fox, but I think now it's on Netflix. You can watch it on Netflix.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that I love that. That sounds really interesting, Jay.
It is.
I
It's
love
a mind
that.
bender, and it's fun to see some of these more metaphysical understandings that we know and have witnessed in our life, but actually played out in a TV show.
Cool. Yeah, that's it's, I'll check it out. I'll Google it on up. Hey, one thing I noticed you didn't mention is when are your radio programs coming up?
Oh, that's right. So we have the one we're on, Metaphysical Conversations. And then I have a show called The Jay Varvel Show happening on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. I have a new show coming up with my partner. That's going to be at 8 p.m. Pacific on Wednesdays after Raven. And then I do a show with Raven. It's an interview show on Thursdays called Backstage Pass. That's Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific. I am on the radio a lot. I'm so happy to be part of the One Two crew, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in.
Wow, what's your new show coming up?
It's going to be a show with my partner and I, Alan, and we're going to have it be a discussion show similar to this one, only we're going to dive more specifically into relationships and self-care and kind of go into that world and be able to talk about how we are able to put into practice those self-care things, give
Cool.
ideas, as well as like what do we do to stay on track, stay motivated. And being that my partner's a hairdresser, we're also going to kind of bring in that more physical part of it, like in the sense of what you can do, like to create a hair mask or a fun facial for yourself at home, those kind of things.
Oh, nice. Okay, I love facials. I love doing home facials. That's good. And using mud. It's really fun. What time is your show on Wednesdays for
That
that?
one, it's going to be at 8 p.m. Pacific.
Okay, an evening show. Nice. All right, Jay. Well, I guess that's about it. You have to move forward, don't you?
I do. We gotta open up the floor for Mark so he can come on in and let us know what's going on in the astrology world.
Yeah, all right. Thank you guys for coming.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
In the mornings, gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversations so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.